We're going to continue on our Love Is series, but before we do so, let's just pray. Lord God, we just thank you today for your presence. Lord, it is because of you that we are here, and we're so very grateful. So very grateful for your presence, Lord God. We thank you for your word that is truth. And Lord God, we just ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, that we would be able to hear, that we would be able to receive, and Lord, that as we receive the fruit of your, or the seed of your word would produce the fruit in us that you want it to produce today, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about love is, again, just to quickly recap, we talked about that love is not what the world defines it to be. Love is forgiving, love is patient and kind and unoffendable, as my wife spoke about a few weeks ago. Last week we talked about how love is humble. It is not a thing of pride or arrogance, and so it does not insist on its own way, but it humbles itself and it lifts other people up. So this week, we're going to talk about how love is an encourager. Love is an encourager. I'm going to read our theme scripture again. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'm going to look at the last portion of this scripture here in verse 7. It says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This word believe in the Greek is the Greek word pistuo, which means to believe or to be convinced of something. To believe or to be convinced of something, and hope is that Greek word there, which means a confident expectation. That you believe that with all confidence that something is going to take place. And if you look at this passage of Scripture and you look at how it is written, it is all directed toward people and toward each other. So if we read it again, it says, love is patient and kind toward people. Love does not envy or does not boast about itself towards others. It is not arrogant or rude towards others. It does not insist on its own way, but forgoes its own way for the sake of others. It is not irritable or resentful against other people. It does not rejoice at the wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth that other people believe, that people can believe in. And it bears all things, and it believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things. So love believes or is convinced about other people. It has a confident expectation that they are going to succeed. Love is an encourager. Love says, I believe in you. Love says, you can do this. And is expecting the best in people and encouraging them when they're struggling or when they are down. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. This word encourage in this scripture is the Greek word parakaleo, which means to call to one side, or call for, or summon, or to strengthen. To call to one side, meaning that love is something that rises up in somebody that says, I need to come to this person's aid and encourage them and strengthen them. And the scripture says, encourage one another and build each other up. This is something that we are called to do. We are not to live life just for ourselves, but for the sake of others. And to encourage them and instill that same belief in someone that they can do it. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 says this, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Encourage one another daily. We are called to encourage each other each and every day because we need encouragement each and every day. I can say that about myself. I need encouragement. I need somebody to speak to me and say, you can do this. It says we need to do this so that we will not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin is deceitful because sin says, and sin will lie to us and say, and this is what the enemy says, that because we made a mistake or because we failed at something or didn't do something right, because we failed, that means we are a failure. But that's not true. But that's what sin and that's what Satan will try to lie to us and get us to believe. Is that because we made a mistake, therefore we are a mistake. Because I failed at something, that means I am a failure. But that's not what the truth is, and that's not what God says. Satan wants you to believe that you are a failure so that you will live in that mindset so that you will never achieve what God wants you to achieve. If you believed in the truth and if you believed in what he said about you. So sin is deceitful, and that's why we need people each and every day to come around us and say, you know, yeah, maybe you made a mistake there. But you are not a mistake. You can do this. I believe in you. Love says, I believe in you. That you are greater than the mistakes that you have made. You know, God himself tries to encourage us and pick us up. And I want you to know this, that when you make a mistake, God is not somebody standing up in heaven shaking his head at you. It's like, I can't believe they did it again. How many times do I got to tell them to stop making that same mistake? That's not what God does. He's not a God standing up there looking at us, disappointed when we fall down. Is that what we do when we see a toddler trying to walk? And as they fall down, we're like, oh, gosh darn it. Will you just walk already? No, you got this. You can do it. Keep trying. That's what God does with us. He doesn't stand over us shaking his head. He actually stands over us and he reaches out his hand. He says, get back up. Try again. You can do this. I believe in you. That's what God says. And he doesn't want us to believe the lie of the enemy. You know that as you read through scripture, you never see Jesus address anybody or call anybody by their sin or their mistakes or what other or their condition or what other people may be calling them. If you read throughout scripture, Jesus never does this. He never calls a tax collector a tax collector, which was a derogatory term because many of them were Jews and those who were collecting the taxes were despised by their brethren because they were collecting taxes for Rome. And so often it was a derogatory term. It's like, you dirty tax collector. And they were regarded as some of the worst by their brethren, their brothers and sisters of Israel. But you never see Jesus call somebody a tax collector. You always see them call them by their name or their true identity, their true eternal identity as son or daughter. Satan will try to point to you and define you by what you have done. But God defines us by who we are as his sons and daughters. And he's calling us as his kids to encourage those around us and to call each other by the identity that God has given them as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Be patient when they don't get it right away, the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, 100th time. Be patient with them, continue to encourage them. God cares about us encouraging others, and he cares about us being encouraged so much so that when Jesus left this earth, Scriptures tells us that when he left, he did so so that he could send the Helper, the Encourager, the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." He says, "I'm sending the Helper, the Holy Spirit." Now, this word, the Helper, is the Greek word parakletos. So we just read in Scripture that the word parakleo means to call to one side. Parakletos means someone called to one side, especially called to one's aid. So when Jesus left this planet, he says, "Don't worry." His disciples were sad and they were worried. "Jesus, we need you. Why are you going?" But he said, "Don't worry. I am sending somebody who's going to be by your side all the time and to help you. He is the Helper. And he will be there to help you and encourage you. I am calling him to your side and to your aid." See, Jesus knows that we need help. Jesus knows that we need encouragement daily. Romans 8:26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." And then Romans 8:31 continues and says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So we're like, "Man, it just feels like the devil has it out for me today. I don't think I can do this. It just feels too heavy. It just feels too hard." But God says, "Hey, I have sent to you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who is greater than Satan, who is greater than the enemy." He actually says in his world, in his word, that greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Meaning, greater is the Holy Spirit that is in you and that is with you than the ruler of this world, which is Satan. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged because he is with you. You know, growing up, I had the privilege of having many great coaches throughout the many different sports that I played who encouraged me over and over and over again, which highlights a fact because I needed encouragement over and over and over and over again because I failed over and over and over and over again. It's just kind of the nature of sports. You're always going to be not getting it right at certain times. But I was so grateful to have coaches who believed in me, who encouraged me, who would constantly say things like, you know, they would constantly say, "Pick your head up. You'll get it next time. You can do this." And as an athlete, sometimes after making three errors in a game, you feel like, I can't do this. But to have somebody tell you, I believe in you. I believe you can do this. I believe you're going to do better next time. Keep your head up. Keep trying. Keep pushing forward. Sometimes we need that. As parents, me and my wife, we have tried to encourage our kids as best as we possibly can as they have been growing up, and trying to coach them and instill that in them as well, just telling them that, hey, you can do this, you got this, just keep trying, you know, as they're growing, just, you know, again, as I talk about, you know, toddlers trying to walk, hey, you got this, keep going, keep trying, it's all right, you fell down, get back up, you can keep going. And so we keep trying to instill that belief in themselves. And I remember that when my daughter Brielle, who's just turned 12, time flies, when she was three, and as we were encouraging her and speaking life into her, she developed this saying as we got her to believe in herself that she could do things that she thought was hard. She developed this saying when trying to attempt something difficult. She would say, I got this. This little three-year-old. And she kept, whenever something difficult came up, she would say, I got this. And there'd be times where she would try to attempt something and be like, ooh, I don't know about that one. Be careful. She's like, don't worry, I got this. It's like, I'm glad that you think you got this, but I think I'm going to take that full gallon of milk and pour it into your cereal bowl for you. But because we had encouraged her so much and spoken into her so much, she began to believe in herself that she could do certain things. And even if she failed, we would just continue to encourage her and get her to believe that I got this. I have been encouraged many times in my life, again, not just through sports, but in many different areas. And the more times that we have been encouraged, the more times that we actually believe the words of the person speaking encouragement over us, the more that we hear that we can do it, the more that we actually believe that we can do it. And sometimes the belief in us needs to start by being, it needs to begin by being instilled in us from somebody else. And sometimes that belief in somebody else needs to start in us speaking it into their life. I want to read for you a passage of scripture here. Acts 4:36-37 says this. Thus Joseph, listen to this, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite and native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So Joseph here, called Barnabas, was a very generous person. Sold the field and gave it all to the apostles to distribute as the Lord directed them to distribute. But I want to highlight here that the apostles didn't call him Joseph. They called him Barnabas. And as you read through scripture, he's referenced as Barnabas most of the time, which again means what? Son of encouragement. Barnabas was one. Now, you don't get the name son of encouragement if you're not an encourager. So obviously, he had a reputation about him that he encouraged other people. Like, no, that's the son of encouragement right there. You want to hang around him. If you hang around him, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to be picked up. You're going to believe that you can do it. as we move on to Acts 15:36, I want to read you this story. It says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So John, who was called Mark, at some point was with Paul and Barnabas. And at some point, as they were going to a certain region and ministering, John, who's called Mark, John Mark, he got scared. And he said, "I can't do this." And he kind of deserted Paul and Barnabas in this, and he kind of ran off and hid for a time. And now here we are, where Paul and Barnabas are talking about going back to some cities where they need to encourage those and where they establish the church. And Barnabas is saying, I want to bring John Mark with us. And Paul's like, "I don't want to bring that dude. He deserted us. Why would we bring him?" Now, I love Paul, and Paul obviously is one of the greatest men in the Bible, but Paul was not perfect. He didn't do everything right. And in this moment, Barnabas is like, "I know that John deserted us. I know that he made a mistake in this, but Paul, I believe in him. I believe that he's greater than the mistake that he made." Paul's like, "I don't think so. You go ahead and take him if you want." And the disagreement was so strong that they separated ways. Paul went and ministered to some cities, and Barnabas went to and ministered to some different cities. And Barnabas took John Mark with him because he was saying, "Mark, I know that you made a mistake. I know that you deserted us at one point. But I know that though you deserted us, you are not a deserter." And I can just imagine as Barnabas is talking to Mark and inviting him to go along on this journey, Mark is like, "Are you sure you want me to go with you?" And Barnabas is like, "Yeah, I do, because I believe in you. I believe that you are better than the mistake that you meant or that you committed. And I believe that you can achieve great things for God." I just see in my mind that Barnabas would continue to encourage Mark and believe in him and say, you can do this. Did you know that it's this very person, Mark, who ended up writing a book of the Bible? It's actually one of the four Gospels that we have: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I do not think he would have written the book of Mark if he did not have Barnabas in his life encouraging him. If Barnabas would have taken the position of Paul as like, "No, he deserted us, therefore he is a deserter, we're just going to cast him to the side," we would not have this book that we have today, which the book of Mark highlights more than any other gospel, the power of Jesus over darkness. And his power over the demonic and the power of Satan, which I am grateful that we have. We would not have it without Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who encouraged John Mark and said, "I believe in you. I believe that you can do this. I believe that you are greater than your mistake." I remember when I first was kind of in youth ministry, and I remember the first sermon I ever gave, it was not pretty. And it was right after my son was born, so this is 16 years ago. He just turned, today's his birthday, everybody. And he hates that I just said that. But he's 16 years old today. So when he was born, a few days after he was born, I delivered my first sermon, and it was at our youth service to about 40 kids or so. And I remember getting done, I was like, that was horrible. I did not feel good. I was like, I feel like I fumbled over my words. I was nervous the whole time. And I was like, I don't think anybody heard anything that I really had to say because I don't think I said it right. And I remember sitting down with our youth pastor at the time, and I was being honest. I was as asking him honestly. He's like, okay, let me have it. Tell me what I did wrong right now so that I can try to improve next time. So, but when I sat down next to him, he didn't speak any negative words. He only encouraged me. He's like, no, you did great. I know I didn't do great. I knew it was horrible. He's like, no, you did great. Here's what you did good. And he highlighted the one, maybe two things of my sermon that I did good. He's like, you did really good at this. You did really good at this. So let's look at that and build on that. I think, you know, where would I be if I didn't get that word of encouragement? Where would I be if, you know, he had sat me down and be like, yeah, that was pretty rough. I don't know if you're cut out for this. I think you should just quit. Which is honestly what Paul had just said to Mark. It's like, I don't think you're cut out for this, Mark. I don't want you around. Barnabas is like, no. I believe in you, Mark. My youth pastor is like, I believe in you. I believe in you. And so, standing where I am today, I know is in part due to the encouragement I received that night after probably my worst sermon I ever gave, saying, nah, you can do this. I believe in you. We all need to be encouraged at times in our life. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our constant encourager, the one that says, you got this. Because you got me. And again, greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. So whatever you're facing, whatever's going on, whatever negative thoughts that are going on in your mind that says you can't do this, give up, quit, the Holy Spirit is trying to speak in the other ear saying, you do got this because you do got me. So don't give up. Keep pressing forward. Maybe this morning you need to hear that word, that you have this, which you do. You have the Holy Spirit with you. Or maybe this morning you need to be an encouragement to somebody else. Many times the Holy Spirit encourages us through somebody else. Maybe you're that conduit of encouragement this morning that you need to be to somebody. I would say, pray, ask the Holy Spirit, who is it that you want me to speak hope into today? Who is it that you want me to encourage today? Who needs to be picked up? Who is feeling down? Who needs to hear the truth that they can do this? There's probably some people in here today who've been hearing the lies of the enemy that because they made a mistake, they are a mistake. And they need to hear the truth that we have the helper, the Holy Spirit, who believes in us more than any other person in this world, that we can do it, that we can overcome, that we can win the fight. Scripture also tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. I'm going to read this scripture again, Hebrews 3:12. But encourage each other, or encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Love encourages. Love seeks to encourage others daily because it knows how important it is. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love believes the best about people, has hope in people, and instills that courage through its encouragement so that we can be who God has called us to be. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. So this morning as we close, I just want to say again, if you are in a place where you're feeling discouraged, I want to speak life into you today. You have the Holy Spirit. He was sent to help and to encourage, to let you know that you can do it through His power and through His strength. We don't do it alone. And if you failed 100 times, 1,000 times, God still does not call you a failure. He believes that you can overcome the mistakes that you've made because He knows the power that He has, which is an infinite power that overcomes the power of the enemy. But for the to let this power take place in your life and for that overcoming power to work in your life, you first need to surrender your life to Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you are here and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you have not accepted His grace, the forgiveness of your sins, which is amazing, and you want to do so today, I would just ask that you just raise your hand so that I know who I'm praying with. Is there anybody like that this morning who says, I need Jesus this morning. I need the forgiveness of my sins. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I see that hand. Anybody else? This is for those online as well. So if you are standing at home or sitting at home and raising your hand, you can pray along with us. So you can just pray with me this morning. Say, Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for me. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sin and help me from this day forward to live for you. Strengthen me, encourage me, help me believe what you believe about me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If I could have the prayer team come forward, if you need prayer for anything this morning, please come get prayer as we just close with some worship this morning.